Good morning. It's lovely to be with you again. Thank you for the invitation to come all the way from Tunbridge Wells and to be with you. And I would invite you, please, in your Bibles to turn to Numbers and chapter 6, which we read a few moments ago. And let's just pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. And as has already been prayed, we ask that you will give us open eyes to see what your word says, open minds to understand what it says, and open hearts to receive what it says. And we ask and pray this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of feeling left out. Perhaps it was a school and they were choosing who was going to be in which of the football teams. And you were chosen, but you were only chosen by default because you were the last person there. Perhaps at Christmas. Some people do get left out at Christmas. There were a number of years when I was a student, I couldn't be with my family for Christmas, and I was pleased that other families did say, come and share Christmas with us. But as Christmas presents were being passed between parents and children and parents, kind of, I did feel a little bit left out, the one sort of sitting there in the corner. Perhaps even in Christian things, we feel left out. Oh, how I would have loved for God to have given me the gift of music. I love music, but I'm just useless at it. Sometimes I feel, oh, why can't I be involved in that? Sometimes, too, friends I know speak of all the mentors they have had looking after them. And I kind of think, Lord, why didn't I have some of those experiences? Well, the reason I ask you the question is because there in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 6, there may have been some people who were left or felt left out. The book of Numbers is a part of the journey as God's people made it from Egypt to the Promised Land. Indeed, it is the book that records their rebellion that extends their journey from 18 months to 40 years. But during that time, God explains to the people that God had his people within his people that he would use. So in particular, there would be the tribe of Levi. And when they get to the Promised Land, they're not going to have a land allocated to them like the others, because God would be their inheritance. And then amongst the Levites, there would be the priests. And it would be the priests who would have the privilege and the responsibility of ministering at the tabernacle. And then in Numbers chapter 6, we're introduced to another group of people. We're introduced to the Nazarites, a special group of people that God would use in a very specific way. If you like, they would be the spiritual SAS. And as such, they would be set apart. They wouldn't go anywhere near a dead body, even for a loved one. They wouldn't go to alcohol. They wouldn't even eat grapes. They'd be separated for God from birth. The most famous Nazarite, of course, being Samson. But at this point, there could be 575,000 men, plus women and children, thinking to themselves, well, what about us? We're God's people. What about us, Lord? What have you got for us? And so Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 26 reads this. That the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. There should be some words going up on the screen behind me. I haven't got a clicker, so you'll just have to guess as you go along. There. The Lord hasn't forgotten all the others. In particular, he has a very special blessing for them. And what I found interesting when I was preparing is there was an amulet or an armband dating back from the 7th century with these words inscribed in them. So you can see that God's people understood how great this blessing was for them. But again, at this point, we may feel left out. Because we're not going to be able to find an Old Testament priest to come to us and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. But I want to suggest to you this morning that we are not left out. Because God has not only given us this blessing, but the complete fullness of this blessing in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And before you meet to decorate the church and hand out the leaflets around the area, I just want to share this blessing of number 6 with you as a Christmas blessing. And I trust that we'll just be able to see Christ in these words. That when you go out on Saturday, you'll know that you've been blessed in this way and you'll want to share that blessing with those you'll meet. And similarly, be encouraged just to invite others to come along that they may receive the fullness of these things in Christ. So we start off then with the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Now there are some words in the English language that get a hard time because we've forgotten what they mean. And some of those are actually in the Christian vocabulary. We don't like words like sermon or preach or Bible or propitiation. We don't always understand what they mean. What about the word bless? What do we mean by the word bless? If we are honest, it's the word that we hear when people sneeze. Or we see it in tapestry, you know, in people's houses, where it says, bless this house. Other times it's used in a conversation or to end a conversation, God bless. Failing that, it's used to pray for the missionaries when we don't know what to pray for. Lord, bless the missionaries in Africa. But what does it mean for God to bless his people? When you begin to think about it, it really is something so special, so divine, so amazing, that we are asking God in heaven to come upon a person's life and to touch it in a real, in a special way, and to share with them his bounty, his goodness, his blessing. Remember, the first person in the Bible who was blessed was Abraham. God said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Simple words, I'm going to bless you. But what's that blessing? That blessing is the entire Jewish nation. Plus those grafted into it, so that we go to Sunday school and we sing that Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you, so let's all praise the Lord. But that just shows the fullness of God's blessing, doesn't it? It's not a little thing to be blessed by God. It's a big thing. To such an extent that Jacob wrestled with God and said, I'm not going to give up until you bless me. And here were the priests, and they were going to say to the people, the Lord bless you. Give to you that which you need, that which would help you, that which would strengthen you. Now, what does the Lord do for us? How does the Lord bless us? He blesses us by giving us his Son, who comes into this world to show us that there is a glorious God, who comes into this world and explains to us the reason we don't know God is because of our sin, because our lives are separated from God, who comes into the world and explains that the wages of sin is death, that separation, but the gift of God is eternal life. And a Son who gives us that eternal life by dying for us on that cross at Calvary. Now that is a blessing, isn't it? And it's not surprising that Paul, when he speaks about Jesus, just simply says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The blessing that God has given to us is simply indescribable. But God doesn't simply say, well, I'm going to bless you with Jesus, although we would be very grateful just for that. But there's more. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The word there literally means to guard, to protect. And we can understand the priest saying that. God is your God. He's going to keep you. He's going to protect you. As Moses would say, he would shelter you under his wings. As you go through the book of Psalms, you see God's people delighting in this wonderful truth that God is with them. Psalm 46, verse 1, I love because it speaks about God as an ever-present help in times of trouble. Or Psalm 121, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you, your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And we take that to heart, even as Christians, and we think of that wonderful picture of the Lord there from heaven, and he is the one from heaven who is looking after us. But isn't there more for us in Christ that we sometimes forget? Because when Joseph was there, puzzled as to how his fiancée was pregnant, the angel appeared to him and explained to him all that was going on. And Matthew then writes that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so, yes, God blesses us from heaven and looks after us from heaven, but hang on, there is more to that. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. And as Jesus came here on earth, he was clearly with people, God with them. But then as Jesus then was saying, I'm going to the cross and ascending to the heaven, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you through my Spirit. And God is with us day by day as his Spirit is in our lives. Indeed, not only is he in us, but more profoundly, we are in him. And how much more care could God take of us than actually coming to be with us? And so the priest said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Now we were talking earlier about feeling left out. And in some ways there was a sense that all the Israelites in the days of Moses could feel left out. And that was because it was Moses that had the privilege of going and meeting with God. And you may remember that as Moses spent time with God, when he left God's presence, his face shone. His face reflected the glory of God. Indeed, we are told that he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And it was so distracting that he had to put a veil over his face so people couldn't see their glory fading. What a wonderful thing to have God's face shining and being radiant upon you. But again, as we go through the Psalms, we see this picture for God's people, that although their faces wouldn't shine as they reflect God's glory, but nonetheless, God's face would shine on them and help them and bless them. So Psalm 67, the Lord's face would shine upon the people and the harvest would come. Psalm 80, God's face would shine upon the Israelites and grant to them salvation. And God's face shines upon us in Christ and gives to us the thing that we ultimately need, that of salvation. He is the everlasting Father, the one who brings everlasting life. Is that what not Zechariah testified when he said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people." God's face shines upon us. And we know that because we see it in Christ. And as we see Christ, we also see his grace, because the Lord and the blessing was to bless them and keep them, to make his face shine upon them and to be gracious to them. When you talk to people who don't believe in God, and you start talking to them about the God they don't believe in, you discover very quickly that their God is one of judgment. Is one of wrath. And you kind of have to ask the question, well, where did you get that idea from? Because as you go through the Bible, yes, we see God is the God that needs to be angry with sin, but don't we see a God who is gracious? From the very start, a God who gives to us the things that we do not deserve. And here in the blessing, God was saying to the people in the Old Testament, well, God be gracious to you. God give you what you don't deserve. And that rabble in the wilderness certainly did not deserve God's blessing. They were doubting God. They were questioning God. At times they even despaired of God. And yet the blessing was, well, God be gracious to you. God give you what you don't deserve. And as we come to think of this time of Christmas, isn't it all about God giving us that which we don't deserve? Isn't it God coming and showing us his grace? And John, at the start of his gospel, amazed at the fact that God has come into the world, explains that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, just to explore the wonder of it, if I can say it like this, compare Jesus with Santa. Because what does the world teach about Santa? Santa comes with a bag full of goodies for those and only those who have been good. Christ comes full of grace to those who have been bad. It doesn't matter where we are. He comes full of grace. And notice how John goes on to say that from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. Now, if you want to do something after lunch other than having a sleep, look at verses 16 and 17 and write the list of the things that have followed because we have been given the grace of Jesus. Because John says, because Jesus has come full of grace, We have one blessing after another, after another, after another, after another. Start writing them down. And a part of that grace is God being good to us, isn't it? For the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you. Now, in some ways, this may seem like a repetition of verse 24, but in the original, it's not. And in other translations, it's slightly clearer, because here the word is countenance. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. We can understand a bit of this as we go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, we are told that Cain's offering was not accepted. And we read there, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Someone's face says so much about them, doesn't it? The other day I was waiting at Gatwick to collect my wife from the airport, and I'm very pleased that there's not only a Costa there at the waiting, there's actually a bar. You can sit there with your latte looking out over the arrivals lounge. And it's fascinating just watching the people. And there's the businessmen. And they've come in on the flight and they meet their business partner with their briefcases, sort of shake hands, and their faces say nothing because it's just a business meeting. And there are the people waiting for their relatives to arrive. And you see their faces thinking, oh no, why did we agree to have them? And you see the people coming through the terminal and the others going, oh no, here we go, put on the smile. And they go there and they go off. And then you see the boyfriend who's waiting for his girlfriend to arrive. And the doors open and he sees his girlfriend and his face lights up, and you can tell that he is in love with her. And as soon as she sees his face, although she's been waiting so long to see him, as soon as she sees him, oh, her face is aglow. And what's the blessing? May the Lord's face light up when he sees you. And isn't that exactly what we have here? You see, in the book of Psalms, again, we begin to see this picture of God's face delighting in his people. Blessed are the people who know the feast will shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. Those who please God, the blessing is there. But as Christ comes on the earth, so the blessing is clear. So John could say, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. How much more delighting can you have for God himself to say, come and be in the family. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the message of Isaiah is that the Prince of Peace would be born. And as he was born, so the angels announced glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace with them who he is pleased. Peace for those who have received his blessing. Peace for those who are his children, whose his countenance is shining upon. Peace for those who know his favor and his grace. Peace for those who know him as their Emmanuel, God with us. Peace for those who know his blessing. Is that us? Do we have peace with God? Because Christ came into this world to show us what's robbed us of our peace. It's our sin. It's our rebelling against God. Christ died on the cross that we might have that peace and receive that peace. Peace to know that we are one with God. Peace to know His presence in our lives and that peace in our lives day by day. Peace to know that we know where we're going, whatever may come our way. Or to put it another way, we have the peace of knowing that our past is redeemed, our present is with Him, and our future is secure with that hope of heaven. And I cannot think of anything better. You see, you say to people at this time of year, what do you want for Christmas? And so often people say, I don't know. I just don't know. I think it's harder because when we want anything now, we just buy it off of Amazon and wait like we used to. I wonder if we could ever then say to somebody, well, how about this? If you don't know what you want for Christmas, this is what God would have for you at Christmas. That God would have you bless you and keep you. The Lord would make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord would lift up His countenance and give you peace. What about that as a Christmas present? And for those of us who are in Christ this morning, may just we know the fullness of the blessing for us. That we do know of our Heavenly Father who blesses us in Christ and keeps us in Christ as His Emmanuel. Whose face, He turns His face towards us to give us that salvation. And shows us His grace. Who turns, lifts up His countenance upon us and gives us peace. And as I was preparing and thinking of all these things afresh and anew, there were some words of a hymn that came to my mind. The hymn was written only last year. A hymn can be a hymn only be a year old. But these are the words, and with these I close. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let's pray together. Father, we can imagine those Old Testament saints feeling so overwhelmed when your people said, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make His face shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, turn His face towards you and give you peace. But Father, how humbled we are as we think you've given to us all of this and more in Christ, that through your own Son you have blessed us, that through your own Son you keep us because He is our Emmanuel. That through your Son coming into this world, we see your face shining upon us and giving us the things that we need, our salvation. And Christ coming in and coming just so full of grace. Thank you, Father, that your face lights up upon us and you give us peace. And for all this, we do thank you for. Just praying again and afresh as we close our morning to a close. Let indeed the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Christ our Lord. Amen.